Welcome to the Powered by Transova podcast, where Transova team members and industry experts will cover how our reproductive toolbox of embryo transfer, in vitro fertilization, sorted semen, and cloning technologies can multiply the success within your livestock breeding program. Throughout our series, we will also cover a wide array of topics such as frequently asked questions, management and care advice, as well as client and location highlights.
All right, we are continuing our interviews here at the Houston Stock Show. Got my trusty co-host, Carrie, here with me. And we have a special guest, Brett, who is from Australia. Thank you for joining us this morning. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners, and then we'll just roll right into questions for you.
Thank you, Emily, and good morning. It's certainly great to be with you all this morning, and great to be in Texas, in fact. I'm Brett Nobbs from NCC Brahmins at Juringa in central Queensland, Australia. And I'm thoroughly enjoying my time at Houston Radio.
And you, we had talked a little before this that some of the COVID restrictions, this is your first time out of the country in 2 years, you said. How's that been?
Yeah, it was quite a deal to actually get out of the country. We've got fairly heavily mandated lockdowns, and they're state by state. So, you know, our federal government is a conservative government and has been pretty good. But some of our states, and particularly the state I live in Queensland, has had some very strict lockdowns and made it very difficult to conduct business internationally for the last few years. So, I actually caught the first Qantas flight that has been conducted in 2 years that left Sydney for Dallas-Fort Worth. I arrived about 2 weeks ago. And there's quite a little story to that that I'd like to share. It was I did have a real good chuckle to myself when I arrived, because the authorities in Australia made us, apply for a lot of different permits and exemptions, et cetera, and we had to be fully vaccinated. We have to carry QR codes on our phone. We have to wear masks. So any venue that we check in Australia, we have to, use a QR code to lodge our entry and exit of the venue. So that carries through to airports as well. So it was very strict coming through the transiting airports in Australia to get to Sydney. Had to conduct a PCR test within a couple of hours of my flight. Wait nervously for the for the negative result. Then check in, get on the aircraft, and wear a mask for 17 hours, even though we've all just tested negative. So yeah, they told us that we would need all this documentation. So I had a folder full of papers that I was all ready to prepare to submit to Homeland Security upon arrival in Texas. And I walked into immigration, and there's a really friendly man at the immigration, and he saw my passport and saw the pile of papers that I had, and he said, "Oh, I'm surprised they let you out of Australia," and he threw the papers in the trash and stamped my passport and said, "Welcome to the United States." So I threw my arms in the air in freedom and walked on through.
It's funny, what surprised me is because I always thought that Australia was a pretty conservative country, just based on the people that I knew from there. Yeah. And just picking up things. And so their response to COVID, I guess, was just a bit more surprising to me, that there wasn't maybe a bit more of an uproar of folks in that country.
Yeah, it's pretty perplexing for us rural people, rural folk in Australia. We really struggle with how, liberal that Australia is becoming. It's just sheer population. The metropolitan areas full of the liberal elite, and us country folk are getting drowned out a little. And so I guess it's the one thing that why I keep coming back to Texas is I really admire the fighting spirit of Texans and the preparedness for them to stand up and fight for freedoms and just for the conservative values. And that's something that is is really starting to wane in Australia, and we find it hard to have a voice in that regard. So yeah, and in saying that, I guess our Prime Minister has copped a bad rap, because what a lot of people don't know is that the mandates were state responsibilities. So he had quite little control as to far as the QR codes and the lockdowns and the state border controls that were out of his hands, and so it basically comes back to, you know, in Australia we the equivalent to Liberals are Labor Party, our Labor Party is equivalent to the Democrats, so we've got a few pretty tough Labor states, and they've just used their power, and the odd thing is that the polls show that the majority of people support them for the lockdowns, and the fact that they've managed to put a spin on it, that they were keeping the population safe. It's quite perplexing for, in my mind anyway, to see that sort of response when us in country folk were, you know, so anti it and could see what was happening. So, but it's good, you know, they've slowly lifted the restrictions, and we're back travelling again. So it's been quite a long 2 years, but it's good to be back in Texas and mask free and
right.
QR code free.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're glad to have you here with us. Could you maybe tell our listeners a little bit about your relationship with Transova, how you found out about us, and what that's been like over the years?
Sure. Well, I guess I'll start with, I'm a Brahmin breeder in Australia, and we conduct the largest Brahmin seed stock operation and sale in Australia. Every spring we sell, you know, a couple of hundred bulls and females at our production sale. It's been the leading seed stock operation of all breeds across Australia for the last couple of years. Yeah, so we're constantly on the search for new genetics. In the Brahmin world, you know, our cattle industry is absolutely booming at the moment, and our seed stock production is at an all-time high. So I'm always on the lookout for something that can take our program to the next level. And, Texas has been, the southern states of the U.S. have been a major source of genetics for the Australian Brahmin breed for many, many years. Up until the year 2000, we were able to take live cattle to Australia. So there was quite a few shipments of live cattle, a little bit before my time. But then with the outbreak of BSE in 2000, that avenue closed and hasn't reopened. So for the last 20 years, it's basically just been semen. Yeah, with the opening of the IVF protocol to Australia about 2 to 3 years ago, I saw that as an opportunity to bring new genetics to Australia from good cow families from established leading operations over here. So I did my research and found out that Transova was sort of the best operating in the business, and developed a relationship with Kerry and searched for donors right across the southern states, and we've got into the production of embryos, and I guess Kerry, we must be over 1,000 embryos that we've sent to Australia now, and it's all going along quite smoothly.
Now, the first shipment didn't go that smoothly, yeah. If I remember right. We're about 12 or 14 hours off time-wise, so it was kind of hard to connect, but probably when my stomach fell, it was probably about 6 o'clock my time, still dark outside.
Yeah.
And I think I missed a call and then got another one, and I said, this must be important, so I had to grab that for a minute. But walk us through maybe a little bit of that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the first shipment was a very valuable one. You know, it was multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of embryos, and I was on the edge of my seat, as was Kerry, through the whole process, because it was we were in new territory, you know, on both sides, the equivalent of your USDA in Australia is what we call AQIS, the Australian Quarantine and Inspection Service, and And they have very strict biosecurity rules in Australia because, you know, we're an island nation and we're free of, you know, most diseases in the world, and, you know, we pride ourselves on our clean green image. And so, you know, I don't begrudge the tight quarantine rules that we have. So when this shipment arrived, there was some errors with the paperwork, and the policy is for what the problem was their general policy when they receive a tank with those errors and the possible contamination was that to destroy all the contents. So that was hence the very urgent calls to carry in early hours of the morning. And yeah, but we worked our way through it, and Transova were brilliant in doing what needed to be done to correct the problem and find the solutions. And a couple of nervous days, but we got through it. And I can't speak highly enough for, you know, my relationship with Transova and their willingness to work through problems. And it's new territory for all of us. So since then, we've had a couple of more shipments come through, and you know, relatively smooth sailing. So I'm happy.
Yeah, that's great. I guess little backstory, anybody that's never exported embryos, it's more than just packing the tank. You know, there's paperwork, there's blood tests before you even collect the donor, after, and that's just, it really depends on the country too. And Australia has their own set of regulations that you have to follow, and it's not like you can buy embryos and okay, ship them to me. It's a whole process. So
yeah, absolutely. And you've made a good point that it's not as simple as what people think. And you know, both sides have got some pretty strict regulations. And the tank and the paperwork is going through so many different hands in the process of where its final destination is, there's going to be errors, there's going to be mistakes, there's going to be holdups. So it's always a little nerve-wracking and until you actually get that tank on the ground and get your hands on it. So, but, you know, it is what it is. And if you're prepared for the challenge, well, and keep the big picture in mind of what's at the end of the line. And we've just weaned our first set of calves of, you know, Transova produced embryos in Australia, and you know, we're pretty delighted with the calves. So it's been a process that's been very worthwhile.
Hey Brett, you know, we kind of grazed over it a little bit, but you're standing in Australia, you said, and I don't know if anybody caught it, but you know, of any breed, you kind of lead the charge for the last couple of years. What, from a standpoint of what those bulls are averaging, and it seems like it was $28,000 or something like that.
Yeah, it's been a pretty humbling experience. I guess to give you a base to work off, going back a few years now to, you know, 2017 through 2020, before we struck this current boom, I guess most bull sales were probably on that average of around 8,000 to 10,000 for, you know, the leading end bulls. The sales, taking into account, you know, the Angus breed, the Charolais breed, or the Brahman breed. And I've been working pretty hard and doing a lot of IVF work within Australia, and really, you know, sourcing a lot of genetics all over the world, and really trying to up the ante on the productivity of and the bloodlines that I'm trying to put together. So in 2017, we had our first record-breaking sale. We topped at 325,000. And for those that don't know, our exchange rate hovers at around 70 to 80 cents US exchange. So one American dollar will, Australian dollar will only buy 70 or 80 US cents. So that just gives you an idea. So yeah, we topped at 325,000 and an average 27,000 for, you know, around 90 bulls that year, and that was a record of that hasn't been broken at this stage. And so yeah, and we've just continued on from there. We've grown our numbers to try and I guess my philosophy is that we had a little pushback for a couple of years with people, you know, just thinking they were too expensive, and sort of we had a few clientele drift away to other sales just for affordability. So I've really ramped up the program to try and breed more bulls. So come 2022, you know, 2021, our last year's sale, we had double the number of bulls. You know, we were pushing close to 150, 170 bulls, and that's brought our average down a little bit. But I guess with what we've seen is the overall upswing in the market within Australia has been amazing. I guess, you know, 18 months to 2 years ago, we were probably looking at a normal commercial cow-calf pair, whether it be a Brahman cow or an Angus cow, you know, selling for around that $1,500, $1,800. At the current time in Australia, you wouldn't buy any cow, commercial cow, for under $3,500 to $4,000. It's been a massive rise, and you know, our calf sales, our feeder calves, you don't buy much under $2,000. You're lucky to even get four legs for that. And so it's amazing where we're at in the industry. And I guess everyone's a little nervous and looking over their shoulder to wonder what's coming down the line to maybe make the bubble burst. But to put a little background into it, that, you know, one driving factor for this boon has been that we went through the eastern states of Australia, from Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, which pretty much encompasses, you know, the whole eastern side of Australia, had probably the worst drought in, you know, over 100 years, in the years of the late 2018 through the whole of 2019 and into 2020. So we had a massive herd reduction and cow kill right across the country. You know, I had never witnessed a drought like that in my lifetime, or and my father and grandfather's lifetime. So it had a big impact on the overall rural economy, and also the, you know, the cattle numbers in the country. So the season has improved a lot, and you know, in some parts it's, yeah, I guess you see that in the US here too. We've gone from being the worst to probably the best in a set of a couple of years. So we're seeing a massive herd rebuild, and that's, you know, a large part of that can be attributed to the boon. But you know, the meat prices at the end of the day are still at record highs. So it's incredible times, and it's certainly great for Australia. That's such a dry continent. We you know, we go through so many tough times, but it's been a hell of a boon for rural industries in Australia right through. You're seeing it, you know, trickle down into all the small towns with machinery sales. And with COVID, there's been you know, issues with supply. There's massive lineup for back orders for machinery. If you want to buy a new truck or a tractor, it's, you know, 12 to 18 months wait now for a lot of those things. And yeah, and the other good incentive that helped feed the whole demand was our conservative federal government introduced tax concessions at the beginning of COVID for businesses to for instant tax write off for machinery purchases, which that also fed into the boon for demand. You know, with increased cattle prices, in better season, and these tax incentives. So it's just driven our whole economy and our whole market sky high, to the point that I guess we're a little like the US, where, you know, verging on a few problems with inflation at the moment. So there's some interesting times ahead, but we're certainly enjoying the boon in prices. It's just, you know, it's dizzying heights where we are at the moment.
How do you see the relationship we've started here? Obviously you're coming here to Houston to, I'm assuming, look for some more genetics to move forward. What's your plan, like, next 3, 4, or 5 years with what you'll be doing with genetics that you're sourcing out of the US?
Yeah, I guess I'm always on the lookout, and you know, I've found a few good prospects in the last, I've been here a few weeks now, traveling to Mississippi, Louisiana, and you know, all over Texas. So I've found a few good prospects that that I can work with in the next few years. I guess it's a, at some point we'll wind down a little bit in the embryo production because it is costly, and I think once I've, my main objective has been right from the beginning is to develop some new cow families from us, from the US in Australia, and you know, identify some of these leading Texan or you know US Brahman cow families, collect embryos from them, take them to Australia and develop those families. You know, to me, the biggest part of my business is the female side of developing a herd that really is that really breeds and is genetically potent. And you know, you've got families over here like the Hudgens family that have been in the game for 100 years, and they've been a global resource, you know, all over the world. So there's cow families there that, you know, we can only dream about, and I've been fortunate enough to work with the Hudgens family to have access to those, and you know, so it's so exciting for our program to have access to them, develop those females in Australia, and just send our program to the next level.
For a U.S. guy, so we've got, we do work with clients of all shapes and sizes here, Brahman clients. So what is, from your perspective, what is an Australian Brahman breeder looking for to maybe give our folks some perspective of what to breed for if they want to tap into some of this Australian market?
Yeah, it's that's a good question, and it's one that, you know, I'll give my opinion on, and it may not be a popular one amongst Americans, but we're drifting apart in practicality. Sure, coming to the Houston show is a highlight. You know, I thoroughly enjoy it, the camaraderie amongst breeders from all over the world. But there's a large element of the cattle that sit in a show string that just won't work for us. You know, there's feet and leg issues there, and just overall constitution. I'm not sure whether you're familiar with the word constitution or doability. That ability to just hold their body condition and flourish and on grass pasture conditions. So without their head in a feed tub. You know, Australia is a big country, and you know, a lot of my clients. You know, I sold a bull just before I left. You know, $150,000 bull private sale, and he went to a herd where these guys run 60,000 cows, breeder cows, and he'll go into that herd for those guys to then as a nucleus bull breeding herd to then breed bulls for their own use, because they simply at the current prices they can't source enough bulls for a competitive price in the auction ring at auction sales with the current prices. So they've had to fall back to breeding their own just to maintain the numbers of bulls that they need to turn out each year. So yeah, it's basically doability, functionality, feet, legs, testicle size. You know, the things that are just standard across a lot of other, you know, British and European breeds, we as a Brahman breed really have to get right. And to be honest, probably my biggest criticism of the American show ring is the push towards the square shaped, the flat hipped Brahman rather than the Brahman that's got a little slope and a little rounded in the hind quarter and a big, deep fleshed back end. These, you know, I've noticed in the last 10 to 15 years that cattle that are orientated towards the show ring, judges seem to be selecting those real level topped, level hipped cattle that's fundamentally against how the Brahman breed was developed and how it looks phenotypically in nature. And we've found in Australia that the push for that and using those genetics that are pushed that way has developed post-leggedness and calving problems because of the females because the pelvis is just set too high. So if judges would just, you know, not look at Brahman cattle as if they're looking at an Angus or a Simmental, you know, a European or a British breed, and just assess them on being a Brahman or a Bos Indicus, then the breed would probably, you know, steer back in the right direction. It's those two things, I think, are the biggest thing, is just the overall shape, which flows through to functionality and feet and legs, because you try to level that top out, level that hip, it's just geometry, you know, that's going to make those legs straight. And that's the basic thing. And if we can't get back to some more practicality in the US over time, then I don't think there'll be as big a push from Australia to source genetics, just simply because they won't work for us. But at this point in time, you know, like I said, like the Hudgens family, you know, there's a heritage of females here that go back generations and generations, and they're hard to wash out, those females. You know, they can tolerate a few generations of the wrong choice in bulls, but they'll hang in there, those cows, and eventually they'll wash out in the end. So that's why they're still available to me, and they're still there to use with my sort of bulls that I'm looking for our market. Yeah, you know, there's still plenty of hope here anyway.
Do you sell any of your own genetics into the United States, or is that something that maybe in the future you'd be open to?
Yeah, we do. I've got a couple of bulls over here at the moment, and one red pole Brahman bull that's becoming quite popular. And I guess I'm a little selective in what I want to send over here. I want it to be as good a bull as that I can breed with, so that I can practice what I preach. That I don't, you know, I don't want any foot issues, any problems at all with the bull, or any temperament problems, scrotal size, any of those things to creep in through Australian genetics coming over here. So I've only sent two bulls over at this stage, and one I've released and one I haven't at this. But it's pretty exciting, and I've really noticed amongst a real interest, just a surge in the last couple of years from American breeders looking at Australian genetics. So that's pretty exciting from our perspective, that you know, that we're able to share genetics and each assess each country's pros and cons, and look at what may work. And and I know this bull in particular, and the other bull that I've got about to release, have got a lot to offer and have been working for us. So hopefully down the track it can be a two-way street of sharing ideas and sharing genetics.
Awesome. That's awesome. Well, we're getting down to our time here today. Is there anything that we didn't ask you that we should, or anything else you want to throw in for our episode here today?
I don't think so. I guess this is probably my chance to compliment Transover. I know I'm not getting paid for this, but
thanks for adding that in.
I just wanted to to thank Kerry and Transover, the Transover team here in Texas overall. You know, they've just been so easygoing and such a professional team to work with, When they say things are going to get done, they usually get done on time. And it's just the overall professionalism, and also the result we're getting too with our embryos. You know, we know we get our part of the deal right in Australia with our recip preparation and syncing our recips. But that, you know, it all comes down to the quality of the embryo. So, and that's probably a nerve-wracking thing when you're trading embryos all over the world, is to know what's actually in that straw when you're putting it in, you know, when you go to thaw it out. So I've been happy with our results that we're getting, and you know, the result we're getting is making the economics work. You know, if we were only getting 10% preg rate, well, no one's winning in that situation, and it's a lot of money down the drain. But you know, our results are good, and we're happy with the overall product that we're getting, both you know, from Transover and from the breeders that we're sourcing our embryos from.
It'll be interesting to see the impact those new weaned calves kind of make on the program. And I want to thank you. I know you've got a lot of things you're trying to get done while you're here in Houston, but for taking time out of the schedule and watching the show and to visit with us here on the podcast today. I've been excited since we kind of talked about bringing you on to hear what you had to say.
For any of our listeners, how, you know, if they wanted to learn more about your operation, do you have a website that they can check out or social media?
Yeah, sure. It's nccbrahmins.com.au, or you can just look for NCC Brahmins on Facebook and keep up to date with where we're at. But I'm not big on social media, but I do have a Facebook page for those that would be interested. And thank you very much for your time today. I hope everyone can understand my accent, but it's been a real pleasure, and it's been an honor to talk with you guys this morning.
Well, thank you. We really appreciate it, and thank you again for taking the time. We will catch everybody next time on the Powered by Transova podcast, and we'll also post the links to Brent's ranch in case anybody wanted to learn more about him and his operation. So thanks again.
We appreciate you tuning in to Transova. If you have any topics you'd like to hear more about, send an email to moreinformation@transova.com. Thank you.